talk about this case, because this is actually the case that's going to happen.
No, I think that's right. And again, I do think it gets short shrift because the facts are so salacious and it's so lascivious. But it is a species of election interference, and Alvin Bragg has consistently talked about it in that tenor. That this is like the lead up to what we see on January 6th. It's the dress rehearsal, keeping information from the voting public in order to maximize or optimize your chances for election.
Right.
And again, to do anything to win. And you see that again happening on January 6th. So again, I think the two cases actually run together, and we dismiss or poo-poo this case to our detriment.
Even though we have had 1,001 would-be authoritarian leaders in this country, guys who imagined and plotted and promised an overthrow of the U.S. system of government, we have never before had someone with that ambition who also has the use of one of our two major political parties to get him there. And so it's a different kind of danger, right? I mean, it's a different kind of danger. It's dangerous because it means the power and the institutional heft and the legitimacy of a massive American political institution is now being brought to bear on this project that has always before now been, yes, radical and worrying and sometimes quite violent, but it wasn't going to win. What has always been a fringe project before now in America today, if the polls are to be believed, it's now a cause and a candidate that is likely to win. And it's not because the American people have never heard that sales pitch, right? It's not because we, the American people, have never heard this siren song of a guy proclaiming the virtues of a new America where there's finally a man in charge and nothing's going to get in his way. We've heard this a million times from a million crazy-eyed weirdos, right? It's only likely to win now because of the Republican Party, because people in so-called normal politics have laundered it, have laundered this sales pitch to make it seem like a good choice. They've lent their own credibility to even the craziest parts of it. I mean, they didn't just stick around for the policy. They didn't just stick around for the potentially normal parts of it. They stuck around with it and stayed on board and pitched in to help when push came to shove, when we got to the violent part.
Today, one of Donald Trump's fans, I guess we're assuming while he was in court, because our reporters saw him in court, he was not typing, but someone posted to his Truth Social something comparing him to Jesus the Christ. And this is the week before Easter weekend, is this coming weekend. And they compare him to Jesus. And they quote the Psalms 109 in the New King James Version. But I think there's a few lines that they might have missed. It says, let an accuser stand in his right hand. When he is judged, let him be found guilty. It says, let his children continually be vagabonds and beg. Let the creditor seize all that he has. Let his posterity be cut off. In the generation following, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord. And why? Because he did not remember to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man. Don't mess with a former Sunday school teacher on the Bible.
Amen.
The biggest sin in the Bible is persecuting the poor and the immigrant. To quote that and not actually know the Bible, probably a little bit of an error on
or
the part of his fans.
Lose track of what Christianity is meant to be about. Love.
Indeed.
Love and forgiveness
at
its core, you know, in the Bible. And you are there. They're comparing someone who is not loving, who is not forgiving, who's a vicious racist, and he's trying to torch the Constitution. He is the last person on earth who should be compared to any religious figure, much less Jesus Christ. And I say that as an agnostic.
Yeah.
And it's a measure, I think, of some of the cultish qualities that cling to Trumpism, which is you'll compare him to anyone you worship because you worship him, and in that process you look past all of his horrors.
The person who is the head of the Republican Party during Donald Trump's time in office, and during his effort to throw out the election result and stay in power anyway, and during his effort to run for election again after having done that, is Ronna Romney McDaniel. And she pitched in and helped. She helped set in motion the part of the plot that involved sending fake Trump electors to Congress from states that Trump did not win. So Republicans in Washington could use those fake fraudulent elector slates to contend that maybe Trump did win those states, even though he didn't. And don't believe me on that. There she is on page 23 and page 27 of the federal indictment charging Donald Trump with conspiring to defraud the United States. There's her personal appearance in this scene of the crime, as alleged by the U.S. Justice Department in this ongoing criminal case. In Michigan, where the fake electors are themselves now on trial, she told the state of Michigan in writing explicitly, do not certify the election results. The Detroit News has reported that with Donald Trump on the phone with her, she directed Michigan election officials to not certify the vote. She told them, quote, do not sign it. We will get you lawyers. She pitched in. She was part of the project. And what was the project? It was to use the power of the Republican Party, Republican officials in the states, Republican office holders in Washington, the national Republican Party that she runs, to use the party's power to reject election results, to take over the government and hold power by other means. And this project is now ongoing, right? Now the project is to tell the American people that those efforts around the 2020 election were righteous. That 2020 election, it wasn't okay. Those election results were not correct. We shouldn't believe American elections. We shouldn't believe American elections are real elections. American election results should not be seen as real. They should not be respected. That's the project now, right? I mean, it didn't work to overthrow the government the last time, but as long as you can build on that first effort, as long as you can keep up the anti-election mythology, then you are priming your people. You're priming the American public to not accept the results of the next election either. You're telling them that they're going to need to take power by other means because the election isn't going to be how we do it anymore.
This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies because we're going medieval on these people. I got a free shot at all these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Tuesday, 26 March, year of our Lord, 2024. It is Tuesday of Holy Week. We have a lot of very special things planned, special guests, all of it. But there's a lot of work to get to. Also, you see right there, Rachel Maddow's one thing, she's information warfare. She's the brains of the operation on the propaganda side for the neo-Marxist crazed left. And, you know, they only roll her out once a week because she didn't really want to take ownership of the Biden regime. You saw that early on. She wanted out to go, you know, write her West Wing equivalents. Other, you know, happy talk nonsense like that. But she's laying it out exactly how they're trying to position it in the minds of the American people, that we don't believe in elections and we're teeing it up. No, we don't. We know the 2020 election was stolen. So suck on that, Rachel. The 2020 election was stolen. Everybody knows it. And we, this show has been blocked everywhere. Okay. It's been blocked everywhere, everywhere. And we're still a juggernaut in 63% at a minimum. Of the primary voters, Republican, which are people that really drive the party, understand that Joe Biden's illegitimate. I keep saying this is the original sin of current politics. You can't get – you got to talk about the future. We are talking about the future. We're talking about the future of sealing the – look at everything they're doing to destroy our country. You know it, the lived experience. Why do you think these numbers are shifting so rapidly in the battleground states? Now, Axios got some polls up today. Oh, Biden may be closing. It's all nonsense. You look at the crosstabs, that coalition of the Democratic Party, they hate him because he's made their lives a living hell. The bottom 50% of this nation are living essentially like Russian serfs. It's not going to get any better. The way they continue to, the way the elites in this country continue to have the fiscal irresponsibility in Washington, D.C., in the monetary irresponsibility at the Federal Reserve and the big money center banks. It's a system set up to increase their power, increase their wealth. So why they're going to continue doing it until you take power away from them. And it's not going to be the running dogs of Rachel Maddow in this crowd. They're protectors. No, we're not saying if the elections don't count. Hey, baby, elections count because we're winning. We love elections. They never talk about the fact that how did over 50% of the American people now are supporting Trump? All the numbers are at the 48, 49, 50. And we know he always undercounts because people are still intimidated about saying that they would vote for him. Why is Trump now over half the American people? And I actually think when you get a real count, it's 2/3 of the American people. Why is that? When all of his, that everybody that really speaks in his favor is blocked and can't get any access. Do you understand how big this show would be if we had access? I don't care. We never go to this guy. So, oh, please put us on. I could give a tinker's damn of what they do. The content of this show is going to get out. You know why? The content of this show is powerful for people to empower them and to use their agency, their own individual agency, to set things right. And yes, you're right. This is a righteous crusade. It's a righteous crusade to save this republic. You know why? Because we deem this republic to be worth saving and the American people to be worth saving. And we're not prepared to just sit there and go play tennis or go play golf or go sailing or just give up and let you guys run the show. We see how demonic you are. Let me repeat that during Holy Week. You, Rachel Maddow, and Joy Ann Reid and your people, you sit there talking the Bible. You're going to talk this, talk that. You're demonic. What the program you have for this country is demonic, starting with the little children and the family, that you're obsessed. You're obsessed to destroy the traditional values of the Judeo-Christian West. Oh, it's Christian nationalism. Look at what these guys are talking. We're talking about basic common decency. You people are demonic, okay? And we're not going to just sit there and take it. That's what you hate the most. That's what you hate about Trump the most. You hate Trump the most because he's empowered average folks in this country to say, no, I'm going to get off the sofa and I'm going to do something. I support this guy. What's so powerful about it is that people support him knowing full well his imperfections. He's not perfect. He never makes the claim he's perfect. He's a guy that could have walked away from this at any time. He could have walked away. He could have walked away in 16. He could have walked away and not run for re-election. He could have walked away most powerfully after they stole it, after they stole his overwhelming victory. He could have walked away then. A rational person might have even walked away. That was the argument. This is what the Maggie Haberman and Jonathan Swan said. They all came to him. All the power brokers and the money guys all came to him. Please, please, please. Just don't, you know, say you lost, accept it. We'll get it next time. And hey, maybe you become the kingmaker and we'll find Glenn Youngkin and you'll deem him your heir. Okay. And everything will be fine. And maybe, you know, he'll give Glenn Youngkin, we'll get some chit chat about the wall, but he'll really go back to the neoliberal neocon policies that the elites in this country love, the elites in the Republican Party, that are not supported. Donald Trump did the exact opposite. Not only is he a historic figure, he is a world historic figure and is the third greatest president this country's ever had. And I say that from somebody who looks at it objectively and is a student of history. Greater than FDR, greater than Reagan, the only greater than my beloved General Jackson. It's only General Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and Donald Trump. And for only the third time in the nation's history is the fate and destiny of one individual inextricably linked with the fate and destiny of this republic. Yep. Them's the facts, folks. I'm sorry Rachel Maddow and Joy Ann Reid and that crowd doesn't like it. But those are the facts. And that's the fight we're in. And hey, if you back off one inch, if you just say it's too hard, I can't do it anymore, then we're not going to win. It's up to you. It's not up to Trump. Trump's all in, if you haven't noticed. He's all in. They're taking his company. They want him in 700 years in prison. They want to do it all. They want to do it all. He's all in. The question is, in your own heart, are you all in? Because it is upon your shoulders that this nation's freedom rest. Short break. We rejoice when there is-
The so-called financial experts thought we were in the clear. They were anticipating around 6 rate cuts by the Fed this year, and then the inflation data came out, higher than expected. Friends, this isn't going away. It can't. The U.S. is $34 trillion plus in the hole, and yet we keep printing money, which pushes the prices you pay every day even higher. So you can either bury your head in the sand or you can do something about it. Diversify a portion of your savings into gold with Birch Gold Group. Gold is your hedge against inflation, and Birch Gold makes it easy to own. They'll help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and you don't pay a penny out of pocket. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898 and get your free info kit on gold. Then talk to a precious metals specialist on how to protect your savings from persistent inflation with gold. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898. Do it today. Action, action, action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, just to reinforce, Dave Bratt's with me. We're going to get to Dave here in a second, but just to reinforce, and I don't know I've gotten it to Denver yet, because I'm dealing off the digital copy of the Financial Times. And as you know, I like to have my paper copy of it. Why do we focus on things like the Financial Times and the Journal and the Times of London? Because those are the paper that the decision makers in the world read. And it is very important, since you are opposed to those decision makers because they're making decisions for their own benefit and not for the good of their own countries, and particularly not good for you, the deplorables. It's important for you to understand that. And people said, well, Bannon, why are you talking about this? Nobody's got it. They don't know the Financial Times. And I said, that's not quite true. This is how we became a juggernaut, because people actually thirst for this knowledge. They want to understand how the system works. They want to understand how the system is rigged against them. They want to understand what they have to do to unrig the system and to take power. And this is the way we're going to do it. And this is what we've done. Now, I just want to, and I'm going to bring Brad up, but this is quite important. This gets back to the big fights we've been having on the budget deficit, because a lot of people, why do you talk so much about the deficit? Nobody's interested in that. Chase a shiny toy. We're not chasing shiny toys. We're going to the signal of money and power in the world. Headline in the Financial Times, lead stories in the Financial Times today. U.S. faces Liz Truss-style market shock as debt soars, warns watchdog. Remember Liz Truss? We spent so much time with Liz Truss, not at CPAC when she wrote her book, but early on when she got turfed out. And we said, hey, and I told her at CPAC, we had a dinner with a group of people. And I said, look, the bond vigilantes blew you up because you didn't fully explain. You went back to kind of the supply side, Arthur Laffer, napkin, I'm going to cut taxes and get growth. I said, that's all fine back in a day when you don't have massive debt on your books you got to pay for. When you're in that, you're in a different era, and you got to think it through. And it starts with, wait for it, cutting government spending, what we call in here fiscal irresponsibility, right? Fiscal madness. The second sub-headline is, Brett, and I want you to get your number two pencil out here, Brett. U.S. deficit to soar to $2.6 trillion in 10 years, says congressional watchdog. Yo, bro, don't give me the 10-year thing. There's always 10 years. Always 10 years going to be 50 trillion, 10 years going to be, no. I strongly believe, and we have not been wrong yet on anything about this debt, including we're the ones that came up with the every 100 days. Now everybody's got it. Fine, that's what we're supposed to do. You could hit $2.5 trillion this year when you count everything in. If not, and I'm talking about the one Johnson, these guys just passed. Not the one that they're cooking up right now. I'm talking about the one, because guess what? They always miss on the tax revenue side. They always miss on the revenue side, and they don't miss on the upside of that. They always miss on the downside. They always miss on the downside. Number three headline. But remember, we went through Biden's budget last week, 2 weeks ago. Biden proposes higher taxes, higher spending, more debt, and $7.3 trillion budget. So the Financial Times all at one put it up there because you know why? People that know about money, people that look downrange, are shocked about what's going on. Now, the ones that are prudent are saying this madness is somehow has to stop. the ones that are benefiting off the system say, no, let's just go as long as we can because who knows what comes after. And what comes after is not going to be good for, let me think, hang on for a second. Let me think about that. Oh, you. Right, I got it. Remember 2008? You old enough to remember 2008? How'd that work out for you? All the guys that brought that on, they all got bailed out. All of them. All the crimes that were done during that, who got ever sent to jail? I think a couple of, and I'm saying, I'm being serious about this, I think a couple of real estate appraisers in Nevada, in Miami, that had mispriced some condos. I think they took the fall for the 2008 financial collapse and then the bailout, by the way, brought on by the Bush regime, but also worked by Barney Frank and that entire crowd. So Congress is in on it. The executive branch, the whole scam collapsed. Both sides, they get bailed out. The only people who don't get bailed out is you. You underwrote it. You underwrote. They went to negative interest rates, zero interest rates. The greatest concentration of wealth in the history of the United States was during the most progressive president, Barack Obama, because they're throwing out shiny toys. Go back and look at Fox coverage in those years. It's all chasing Obama for shiny toys while they are stealing from you and concentrating their power to control the country. That's why Fox is called controlled opposition. This is why the Republican Party, they talk about, what did she actually use it? We've got to get back to normal politics out of Rachel Maddow's across her lips. Rachel Maddow said the quiet part out loud. This party now is not concerned with normal politics. What they want normal politics to be is a controlled opposition where you talk about, oh, you know, we got to have this marginal tax rate cut. Oh, no, gosh. Oh, my gosh. No, no, no. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. We got to cut taxes for the wealthy. Oh, my gosh. My gosh. My gosh. Trickle down. Let it trickle down on you like you're getting urinated on your head. That's a trickle down. It's all a total and complete scam. And now people, and this is why I'm so proud of this show. This is all stuff that we've talked about. You know this, if you went to the business networks, if you went to Fox, they'd be looking cross-eyed. What are you talking about? This audience knows it, already understands it, understands at least the outline of it. And with Dave Brat's great, because Brat, this is a great thing about Brat. He and Navarro get down to the basics of what actually drives an economy, not all the financial machinations. The actual thing, the thing itself, what is this really about? It's about productivity. It's about productivity per worker. It's about productivity. It's all about productivity and how you can be more efficient and more effective. And on that, because Biden, he's gaslighting you all the time. It got the greatest growth, the greatest thing. Is that the lived experience of anybody in this country? Why do you think African-American men and Hispanic men, besides the fact they're trying to make their sons little girls and they're trying to destroy any traditional values that you have there? Remember, African-Americans probably on the social side are more conservative than anybody on the family basis. That's a huge cultural huge with the Hispanics and the African-American. But the economics is primary because they're getting crushed, and they're getting crushed because that's the plan. It's like people under 30. I keep saying, hey, if you're under 35 and you keep voting for this, you deserve to be a Russian serf. Okay, particularly the credentialed class, you credentialed all you folks that are deadbeats on your college loans because you're in professions you can't make a living unless some bogus DEI, ESG, CRT, on and on and on, can create some bogus department that can hire you, right? You're propagating. If you keep voting for this, you deserve it. You deserve to be a Russian serf. If you want to be in chains, if you want to be an indentured servant, this is free men and women. Vote for your enslavement. Vote for your enslavement. Vote for it. But don't sit here and whine when you sit there and go, hey, I'm a debt slave. I'm a slave. I can't get out of this. Dave Brat, brother, you've been hammered. This is so good. The Financial Times finally catching up at the War Room weeks later. And their numbers are wrong, as usual. It ain't 10 years of $2.6 trillion. $2.6 trillion of deficits are with you now, okay? When they do the real accounting, it's with you now. Oh, it's 10 years. Always 10 years. It's going to be 10 years. We got to get on. This is, you know, it's for the children, grandchildren. No, it's the lived experience now. The debt is so high, and it's got to be refinanced, and she's refinancing it short term. You know why? She didn't want to sell the 10s and 30s, and people don't want to buy them because you know why? They're going to have the same problem with the bonds they had back when they had to bail out Silicon Valley Bank. the government bonds collapse. Because guess what? Wait for it. Interest rates go up. Dave Brat, your thoughts and observations, sir.
Yeah, well, you stole half of my thunder, but you did a good job doing it. So here comes the story.
No. Go back to the top. I want all your thunder. Your stuff's too good. Go ahead.
No. I'll just back it up.
I'm a Raven madman. You're the professor. Get back. Give me some. Go professorial.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm going to deliver the receipts. I hate to defend Rona a whole lot, but up on the chart it said that she wants to count the ballots. You can kind of tell what's going on. Which side would just like paper ballots and to count them up at the end of the day? So with that in mind, let's do economics like this. The stuff I'm about ready to give you comes from Alan Blinder, Princeton and Federal Reserve Board. And then Mark Zandi, one of the biggest macro models, and then Robert Gordon from Northwestern, who I mention all the time. So these are the biggest names in the economics profession. The numbers are so bad right now, and the debt figures are so high that they blow up the models, right? That's why you won't see any modern economists right now covering the debt issues, because they're so awful and so laughable. If they printed them, they'd probably be fired from the leftist schools. So it is political. All political views are my own. But when the left is saying they'll do anything to win, when you see these numbers and then the Fed talking about easing rates again, you know, the market's making bets on this, you got to be kidding me. So let's just start off with the numbers that they're upgrading the, CBO, and these guys are updating the numbers from on the first chart. Denver, if you want to pop that one up, from 1.4% GDP growth to 2.1% growth. And so Zero Hedge has, you know, some good articles. One's called The House of Cards on Borrowed Time. And they also note fourth quarter GDP might go up to 3% GDP growth, right? So, and I just want to point out what's coming here is not Keynesian economics, right? A lot of this gets blamed on Keynesian economics. Keynes said when you're having moderate growth like they say we're having now, you should build up a surplus so for a rainy day you can do deficit spending. That was Keynes. What the Republicans just put into play with their budget is really modern monetary theory. The numbers here are so huge. Yes. What you're talking about, $2.5 trillion deficits.
We have to go to break. I want to come back and I want to explain when we come back exactly what modern monetary theory is, how radical, and how the elites in this country, including the conservative elites and Wall Street, embraced it. Birchgold.com, gold every couple of days hitting an all-time high. Birchgold.com/Bannon. Go talk to Philip Patrick and the team. Find out how precious metals can hedge against all of this madness. Short commercial break. Back with Dave Brat in a moment.
Who can you trust? Government leaders repeatedly fail us. Self-appointed experts have led us astray. Distrust in so-called authorities is spreading like a bad cold. We can't quite shake it, but you are not as powerless as they'd like you to believe. When there's no one to depend on, it's time to rely and depend on yourself. Not sure where to start? Well, try this. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. Grab a 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply for just $60 off. Think about that, $60 off right now. My Patriot Supply has helped millions of American families reach self-reliance. I want you to think about that. Reach self-reliance. These food kits offer meals, drinks, and snacks that provide over 2,000 calories every single day, sealed inside heavy-duty packaging that lasts up to 25 years in storage. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and protect your future with as many kits as you need. These kits ship fast, free, and arrive in unmarked boxes. With My Patriot Supply, when you order by 3 p.m., your food kits will ship the same day. Save $60 per kit. That is $60 per kit at MyPatriotSupply.com. Take action. Use your agency. Action, action, action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
You've got access to a resource like Philip Patrick. Take advantage of it. These guys over there are good guys, and Philip Patrick's very smart. So make sure you go to birchgold.com/Bannon. And just, it doesn't cost you anything. Just talk to them. We give you the macro. They'll give you the micro. But clearly something's up, right? Dave Bratt, before you continue on, just explain this radical theory that came out of France, right? What was the last good thing that came out of France after the French fries, right? So it came out of France with Thomas Piketty or whatever his name is, this radical French. And all the French economists are not really numbers guys. They're all kind of philosophers, right? The French, they're all, you know, big intellectuals. He came up with this concept. Here's this concept. Deficits don't matter. You run them up, right? As long and buy physical stuff with them. It doesn't matter. Just run it up. And if you ever get a problem with inflation, you can immediately raise taxes to like 90%. I mean, it's fantasy land, but embraced 100% by what I call the lords of easy money on Wall Street, who love easy money because they make more of it and you make less of it, right? This is how 10% of the nation owns 90% of the assets. So, Dave Bratt, explain modern monetary theory before you continue on.
Yeah, well, I'll explain the political lesson as well. It kind of bumps off of Say's law in classical economics. Supply creates its own demand. But in this case, modern monetary policy suggests you can do endless fiscal spending that will create your supply, right? Through endless government programs that will generate an economy. That's the whopper. I mean, they're just making it up. I think they're making it up for purely political reasons. The architect of this has a podcast out there. You can go listen to her. She's the architect for Bernie Sanders and for Biden on modern monetary theory. And she says, wow, can you believe, without this massive spending, we never would have won the two Senate seats in Georgia, right? You don't hear that too much in sophisticated economic analysis. So the left gets away with this stuff by the architects of Biden's budget. The Republicans
validated it.
It's stunning.
You got to give it, hold it. Yeah, but she's saying the quiet part out loud. That's exactly how they think, right? That's what they think right now. That's why. Yeah. But hold it. The Supreme Court told Biden you can't pay off the debt of the credential class deadbeats. You can't pay it off. Yeah. It's unconstitutional. Every other day you wake up, another $7 billion paid off loans. Right. You gotta call tomorrow to make sure your loan's paid off. Go ahead, sir.
Yep. Yeah, let me just go back to 07, 08. Like you just said, it's never been litigated. The crooks who perpetuated this crime never went to jail. So the rich got rich. The banks made their money. None of them were prosecuted. And so roughly what's going on, Denver, if you want to put up the next chart, I'm quoting Alan Blinder and Mark Zandi here. Quote, at its worst in 2008, the chart you're looking at the bottom left, 08, real GDP appeared to be in a free fall, declining at nearly 7% annual rate. Today, December 2010, when it was written, this article, the financial system has growth of 3%. Great. So they spent $1 trillion to get you a 10% turnaround when the entire financial system was in total collapse. So and they said the debt repercussions of this are so serious, we cannot even tell you. So they had the honesty to say this back then, right? Notice they will not say a word about having $2.5 trillion deficits today. They thought $1 trillion was unbearable. They knew this was a grotesque fiscal expansion. And so, roughly speaking, $1 trillion got you 10% growth, right? You went from minus 7% down there to plus 3. And so if you double it today, you're doing $2 trillion. That gets you, and they say to take half of that, to be fair, for government spending. So in essence, just double it. So instead of 5%, you get 10% GDP growth effect from doing $2 trillion in deficit spending right now. Right. So what does that mean? That means, OK, let's just give them the high number. Say GDP is growing at 3 right now because of this massive government spending. If you took out the $2.5 trillion, what would we be growing at? 3 minus 10. So minus 6 or 7% GDP shrinkage. The economy would be shrinking. We'd be in a recession. Similar, exact same logic from Robert Gordon. When this is why I'm going, I'll post this all at Bratt Economics. You can go make sure I'm not cheating. I'm cutting these figures in half just so they don't look insane, because that's what we're dealing with. So Gordon says in 1819, they're dealing with a stimulus of $150 billion. In over 2 years, that got you 0.8% GDP growth. Well, that's nice. So let's multiply $150 billion by 10. All right, a factor of 10. That gets you to a $1.5 trillion deficit. So then multiply the 0.8% GDP growth. And what do you get again? About the same number, 8% GDP growth due to government spending. So again, without the deficit spending, our economy right now, and when you look at manufacturing and go look at the manufacturing news, it kind of mirrors this as well. Manufacturing is in a recession right now. So government's fine. All the green stuff is fine. That's what modern monetary theory wanted to focus on, was all the government sector stuff. So this goes right along with the left-wing politics. And the next chart, Denver, I'll just you've been going over this, Steve, every day, but here's a couple of charts just to show it. Washington is increasingly depending on the Federal Reserve and domestic lenders to buy its debt. So this is getting increasingly problematic. If you look at the bottom lines, that light blue line down at the bottom, that's Japan, and underneath that's China. China's share of buying our debt is going down, down, down. And so there's going to come a point in time where the Fed has to sell and the Treasury has to sell these bonds to us. And if the Fed lowers rates, I don't think you're going to be buying a ton at 1% again. And then the last chart, this was a shocker. This made the rounds the other day on Twitter. Since the end of 2019, the U.S. Treasury market has increased by over 60%. Since 2019 to $27 trillion. And you see up there the bonds, the notes, the bills. Another $2.4 trillion net debt was issued in 2023. And then I'll just close, final chart. So as a result of this, the American people know very well what's going on, right? You got the elite folks over on the right in that chart. The rich 1%, the elites who are sociopathic overlords, as you guys call them, they think that 69% of the elites have a very favorable view of Congress. 71% are in love with journalists, and 76% love professors. Well, I'm glad to know someone loves us. But on the other side is the voters. We, the American people, have a 6% favorability view of Congress, a 10% favorable on journalists, and a 17% view of professors. And that is probably the accurate assessment. Hey, the economists have failed the American people.
Hang on. This is very powerful. Having made that, laying out how the system is absolutely rigged to give more. And this is why, even though the majority of the majority says we can't do this budget, it's insane, you got to secure the border, you can't do this. They just blatantly work with Democrats. They have 90 or 100 work with them that are totally sold out. Everybody that voted for that is a sellout to the corporate interest. Because you see here, mathematically makes no sense. This is a path to destruction. And just it's financial suicide. It makes no sense mathematically. If you put this plan together and gave it to a business school professor for some macro class, you would get an F minus. They would say this is ridiculous. Get out! We're throwing you out of the school. You don't understand any of the concepts we're trying to teach you. But I want to go back to that last thing, and I want to take it slow, particularly for our podcast radio audience. This is also for the podcast and radio audience why you have to go to the site and get the email, because every day we're sending you like what Professor Bratt. Dr. Professor Bratt is putting out, and all these other geniuses we get on here. You get the videos, but you also get the charts. So go back. This last chart is quite powerful because it tells you the mindset, and this is why you still have these overlords over top of you. Walk me through who likes what.
Yeah, well, just on the left, the MAGA crowd, the folks that normal Americans, voters, 6% of normal people have a very favorable view of Congress, for good reason. They're bankrupting you. Your wages are going down. Productivity's been going down for 70 years. 10% of the average Americans like journalists, because as you saw in your shattered glass segment yesterday. Mainstream media has fallen apart. The Wall Street Journal made a smear at Jim DeMint yesterday. I fact checked that one myself because I couldn't believe it. And they just lie. They straight out lie. And then a 17% favorable view of professors. After you see the Harvard headlines and the MITs and the whatever and the elites and they're plagiarizing and makeup stuff and lying, and the treatment of their own Jewish kids on campus. I've been on Liberty Camp. I've never heard a kid make a racist, sexist remark in my 5 years here. Our kids are just remarkable. And then on the elite side of the world, by contrast, the elites, right? They are sociopathic overlords. The head of the State Department, DOD, CIA, FBI, mainstream media, all the academics, etc. That top 1% of the folks who rule our lives and make up these budgets for us, 69% of them have a very, very favorable view of Congress. Why? Because they just funded $7.2 trillion, and part of that goes to every elite group on the Hill. And the State Department, the NGOs who are helping the border invasion. 71% of the elite, the elites have a 71% favorable view of journalists. You got to be kidding. It's hard to find the truth these days. And then same thing, the elites have a 76% favorable view of the professors who are the elitists who are training in the kids to, roughly speaking, being Marxists, right? And in Holy Week, let that sink in. Your elite schools are training in Marxists. They're not training in Christians. They're not training people in on the Judeo-Christian West. They're training in atheistic Marxists who want to create division.
Okay, hang on for 1 second. I'm going to get back to you, but I got Beatty. He's got to bounce. I got to get this Beatty story in. So just hang with me because I want to go back through some of the stuff you're saying and then give help you and get to your content. Darren Beatty joins us. Darren, I'm going to have you hold through the break. This explosive story, you got Kash Patel. Now you had Acting Secretary of Defense Miller 2 days ago in Daily Mail. You now had Kash in Daily Mail saying that the J6 committee was totally rigged, was sitting there intimidating them. Following up, it's a complete joke. The J6 never even touched. Give me the breaking story once again on Revolver that you guys continue to bird dog.
Well, as I've said many times, we are in the end game stage of exposing the Fed's direction. And we've been there ever since that video depicting the discovery of the bomb at the DNC reached escape velocity. That's what catapulted our research into escape velocity. And so this is the next stage of that investigation, a major piece. And I'm very happy that this is the first place I'm talking about it here in the War Room, where basically all this investigation started. So just to recap very quickly, what was this surveillance video at the DNC and why was it scandalous? Well, the biggest thing that was interesting about that was we see a plainclothes Capitol police officer informing Secret Service agents of the bomb, and then people who have seen the video will know the reaction was totally lackadaisical. They spent 2 minutes in their car before they even got out, and then to cap it all off, the Secret Service agents and Capitol police allowed a group of school children to walk within feet of the bomb. So that's a huge scandal, and you can say, well, maybe they were the most negligent people in the world, or maybe, and I think more likely.
Darren, hang on, hold it for the break, because I want to, it's a cliffhanger. We'll be back in 90 seconds.
True or false? Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt, and that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. Done with Debt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer, and taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage Done with Debt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you. Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first, chat with a Done with Debt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, visit donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Do it today. Take action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Okay. Darren, quickly, here's the thing. If they thought it was a MAGA guy that had actually planted the bomb at the DNC, they would have gone house to house to find it. They would have gone P. Diddy. DHS went yesterday on Sean Combs or whatever, it was P. Diddy. They would have sent SWAT teams out, everything. This narrative has been bizarre from the beginning, has it not, sir?
It's absolutely been bizarre. And that's, I think, why, you know, we had a mountain of created a whole universe of research over the years, making the case step by step as to why the pipe bomb story is one of the two smoking guns of the Fed's erection, the other one being Ray Epps, which, of course, we've talked about extensively. But in the case of Ray Epps, there is a convenient fact that there was a video which was basically tailor-made to go viral, and that natural virality helped to spread the underlying story very effectively, whereas the pipe bomb story was just as compelling, perhaps even more damning, and yet it needed that video moment to catapult it into virality. And that video moment came pretty dramatically in the form of this surveillance footage showing the officials discovering the DNC bomb, having zero reaction to it whatsoever, not being concerned for their own safety, not being concerned for the safety of Kamala Harris, whom they were protecting, and not being concerned for the safety of a group of school children who walk right by it. That was really the damning video that indicated to anyone watching there is something really wrong here. And in all likelihood, the Secret Service and Capitol Police knew in advance that the bomb was fake, but that just raised the question, how would they have known that that bomb was fake and posed no threat? And is this connected to the suspicious fact that Kamala Harris, who was in the building at the time, has foregone any natural political interest in milking the fact that she came within hair's width of dying from a MAGA pipe bomb? They bent over backwards to lie and contrive fake scenarios that fit the domestic terror narrative. But here's something they wouldn't have to fake. Kamala Harris was actually in the building as the pipe bomb was there. And yet this is something they've studiously covered up. To this day, Kamala Harris doesn't acknowledge she was in the building. And Joe Biden, in his hours-long speech on the dangers of January 6th, neglected to mention that. So they're covering it up. It should be their biggest talking point. Instead, it's their most carefully guarded secret. Now let's move to this latest piece, because it really is huge, and it puts us to the next step within the endgame. Now, all of these questions raised by the surveillance footage, those were actually posed to one of the Capitol Police officers who was on the scene, and a senior Capitol Police officer who, it turns out, was the head of the ATF response to the pipe bombs. And this is a story that's come out in different ways. Judicial Watch did a FOIA request. Basically, the ATF was a key institutional player in the response to the pipe bomb. And the guy who ran that response is now the head of Capitol Police Dignitary Protection and Intelligence. And so he was sitting in on this meeting as kind of an overseeing handler officer, and he was there and one of the Capitol Police officers on the scene in the response. And they were asked by Massey and some of his team, they were asked the natural question, how do you explain the fact that in this video, there's no movement, there's no concern whatsoever about this bomb, and you even let a bunch of school children walk right by it? How in the world do you explain that? And this senior Capitol Police officer, with a straight face, looked them in the eye and said, well, you know, the reason for that was we just didn't want to cause panic by our reaction. Are you kidding me? You're informed of the presence of a bomb, which in your mind should have a very high probability of being a live explosive device. And you guys are standing around there like it's no big deal, and you let kids walk by it. And your answer to that is you didn't want to cause panic. This is coming from a guy with a long history who should know better. He was special agent in charge of DC for the ATF. He was one of the key guys responsible, incidentally, for collecting debris at the Pentagon after 9/11. This is not a novice. This is not someone who is dumb or naive enough to believe the manifest lie that he was expressing to this. Such an absurd lie, it's almost offensive that he would expect anyone to believe this. And we're now in a position to reveal this person's name. This person's name is Ashton Benedict. And the first scandal of this is that he's currently the head of Dignitary Protection. So the guy who's in charge of protecting our congressmen has expressed it to be a normal thing for people to stand around lackadaisically around a bomb so as not to cause panic. You would think members of Congress should be concerned about that fact alone. But of course, it gets even darker because it's clear he gave that ridiculous answer because he wanted to cover up the truth. He wanted to cover up, which is clear from the video and it's clear from their ridiculous answers, that the DNC bomb, they knew it was not a threat in advance, and it was discovered under false pretenses. That is to say, there's no way by sheer coincidence these two bombs are sitting out there for 16, 17 hours only to be randomly and independently discovered within a 15-minute time frame that perfectly coincides with the unfolding attack on the Capitol. So we have a name of someone who, an overwhelming likelihood, is a key player in this cover-up, and he happens to be head of Dignitary Protection and Intelligence at the Capitol at this very moment. Ashton Benedict.
I understand you've got, I know you've got to bounce. Where do people go to Revolver right now to read this and to share it? We need this, we need all the force multipliers to push this out strong, and then we'll have you back on tomorrow to go through more details of how we go next level on this. But where do people go today?
This is huge. We're in the end game. You don't normally have people give you names. This is a name, Ashton Benedict. Huge piece, major piece, revolver.news. Read the whole thing, share it. Now is the time to amplify the pressure to 11. It's time to get resolution on this scam they've been shoving down our throats for over 3 years now.
It's completely ridiculous, and we got to do it. Darren Beatty, thank you so much. Revolver.news, it's one of the primary sites we go to every morning to check out what's important, best analysis out there. Thank you, sir. We'll have him back on here. We got to get to the bottom of this thing. It's the original sin of the modern era, the big steal and the Fed's erection. HomeTitleLock.com. Don't let the combination of cyber and AI get into your title. Take out a hard money second mortgage that you got to pay off. They don't want to hear your tears. HomeTitleLock.com, promo code Bannon. Get the first month free. Boom, back in 90.
Tax Network USA is pure war room for solving your IRS tax problems. If you owe back taxes, COVID was your lucky break. Tax court shut down, the IRS paused, and you skated. Well, baby, that party is over. The IRS is adding 20,000 enforcement agents, basically tax cops. Honest, hardworking Americans like you are in the crosshairs. Rich people have tax lawyers and you don't. You'll pay up plus interest and penalties. Tax USA Network has brilliant war room type strategies designed to solve your IRS problem quickly in your favor. Never call the IRS yourself. You're at their mercy. You could sit on hold for 6 to 8 hours and get hung up on. Grind you for all your back taxes, plus interest and penalties. Tax Network USA attorneys have a preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and who to avoid. If they get difficult agent, hey, they just call a different agent. Tax Network USA learned of a limited time special IRS offer. The IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Schedule your free confidential consultation with Tax Network USA. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. Think about that. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. They offer a best-in-class client satisfaction guarantee. Now call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. And visit Tax Network USA. That's TNUSA.com/Bannon. TNUSA.com/Bannon. Make sure you take action on this today. This IRS grind is only going to get much worse.
That's code WARROOM at checkout to save 67%. And do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.